Passage 3.
Good morning, students, and welcome to the university. I'd like to begin with some information about graduate student housing, and then I'll turn this session over to Dr. Paulson, who will explain some of the financial support services we offer to graduate students. First of all, I hope you have a smooth time getting settled here. I know that finding housing is often difficult, so let me give you some information that might help you. I know that several of you have already moved into our new graduate student unit. It's located on the west side of the campus. In this building, four students share dining and living rooms, kitchen, two bathrooms, and four single bedrooms. We do have a few more empty rooms, so if you're interested in moving in, let me know right away. If you haven't visited the family student housing complex, be sure to go take a look at it. This small community has two-bedroom, unfurnished apartments. They're on the south side of campus, near the downtown bus stop. Unfortunately, all apartments are full now, and we have a waiting list for next year. Come see me if you want to add your name to the list. You should apply as soon as possible for next year. If you want to live off campus and are still looking for a house, be sure to check out the off-campus housing office. You'll find a lot of rentals listed there. Now let me turn this over to Dr. Paulson. He will explain some things about the financial aid program.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. Who is the most likely speaker of this talk? Question 33. If you want to move into the family student housing, what should you do? Question 34. What will the off-campus housing office do for you? Question 35. What will the listeners be doing next?
Section C. Now listen to the passage.
There are two factors which determine an individual's intelligence. The first is the sort of brain he is born with. Human brains differ considerably, some being more capable than others. But no matter how good a brain he has to begin with, an individual will have a low order of intelligence unless he has opportunities to learn. So, the second factor is the sort of environment in which he is reared. If an individual is handicapped environmentally, it is likely that his brain will fail to develop and he will never attain the level of intelligence of which he is capable. The importance of environment in determining an individual's intelligence can be demonstrated by the case history of the identical twins, Peter and Mark. Being identical, the twins had identical brains at birth, and their growth processes were the same. When the twins were 3 months old, their parents died and they were placed in separate foster homes. Peter was reared by parents of low intelligence in an isolated community with poor educational opportunities. Mark was reared in the home of well-to-do parents who had been to college. He was read to as a child, sent to good schools, and given every opportunity to be stimulated intellectually. This environmental difference continued until the twins were in their late teens, when they were given tests to measure their intelligence. Mark's IQ was 125, 25 points higher than the average, and fully 40 points higher than his identical brother. Given equal opportunities, the twins, having identical brains, would have tested at roughly the same level.
Now the passage will be read again.
There are two factors which determine an individual's intelligence. The first is the sort of brain he is born with. Human brains differ considerably, some being more capable than others. But no matter how good a brain he has to begin with, an individual will have a low order of intelligence unless he has opportunities to learn. So the second factor is the sort of environment in which he is reared. If an individual is handicapped environmentally, it is likely that his brain will fail to develop and he will never attain the level of intelligence of which he is capable. The importance of environment in determining an individual's intelligence can be demonstrated by the case history of the identical twins, Peter and Mark. Being identical, the twins had identical brains at birth, and their growth processes were the same. When the twins were 3 months old, their parents died, and they were placed in separate foster homes. Peter was reared by parents of low intelligence in an isolated community with poor educational opportunities. Mark was reared in the home of well-to-do parents who had been to college. He was read to as a child, sent to good schools, and given every opportunity to be stimulated intellectually. This environmental difference continued until the twins were in their late teens when they were given tests to measure their intelligence. Mark's IQ was 125, 25 points higher than the average, and fully 40 points higher than his identical brother. Given equal opportunities, the twins, having identical brains, would have tested at roughly the same level.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
There are two factors which determine an individual's intelligence. The first is the sort of brain he is born with. Human brains differ considerably, some being more capable than others. But no matter how good a brain he has to begin with, an individual will have a low order of intelligence unless he has opportunities to learn. So, the second factor is the sort of environment in which he is reared. If an individual is handicapped environmentally, it is likely that his brain will fail to develop and he will never attain the level of intelligence of which he is capable. The importance of environment in determining an individual's intelligence can be demonstrated by the case history of the identical twins, Peter and Mark. Being identical, the twins had identical brains at birth, and their growth processes were the same. When the twins were 3 months old, their parents died and they were placed in separate foster homes. Peter was reared by parents of low intelligence in an isolated community with poor educational opportunities. Mark was reared in the home of well-to-do parents who had been to college. He was read to as a child, sent to good schools, and given every opportunity to be stimulated intellectually. This environmental difference continued until the twins were in their late teens, when they were given tests to measure their intelligence. Mark's IQ was 125, 25 points higher than the average, and fully 40 points higher than his identical brother. Given equal opportunities, the twins, having identical brains, would have tested at roughly the same level.
This is the end of listening comprehension.
College English Test, Band 4.
Model Test 3.
Part 3. Listening Comprehension.
Section A.
Question 11. How did you like the new exhibit at the art gallery?
I still haven't been able to take any time out from studying.
What does the woman mean?
Question 12. Do you think Professor Green will make you redo the entire experiment?
I don't know. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
What is the man planning to do?
Question 13. How many rooms do you want in a house?
Well, to begin with, one bedroom for each of the children and one for us. And I want a bathroom, a big kitchen, and a living room with lots of sunlight in it. Yes, altogether 7 rooms.
How many children do they have?
Question 14. Tom, you really must take school more seriously. If you don't pass your exam, you'll have to go out and work.
I don't see that it makes much difference. If I have a job, I have to do boring work every day. But if I'm in school, I must listen to boring teachers every day. What does Tom mean? Question 15. Bob is surely so swift in class.
You bet. The professor never catches him off guard.
What do we learn from the conversation? Question 16. I'm going to ask my neighbors to turn down the music. I can't concentrate on my paper.
Do you really think it makes any difference to them?
What does the woman imply? Question 17. I have to go to class because I have a test, but if I could, I'd go with you to the movie.
That's too bad. I wish you could come along.
What can we learn from the conversation?
Question 18. What a shame about your accident. What a way to end your holiday.
Yes, it was bad luck. I suppose I should have been more careful.
What are they talking about?
Now you'll hear two long conversations.
Conversation 1. Hi, Taven. Your roommate told me that I could find you in the TV lounge. What are you doing here?
What does it look like I'm doing?
Well, it looks like you are watching television. But we have a linear algebra midterm tomorrow, so I thought you'd be studying for it, and maybe I can study with you.
Oh, well, I was just taking a break. This linear algebra stuff gives me a headache if I work on it too long.
I know what you mean. I've been working on it for 3 hours already. I'm beginning to get cross. I've been guessing at the sample problems. I just don't get some of them.
But I can't believe you're coming to me. I mean, you do know what I got on the last test, don't you?
Yeah, I know. You told me. I just thought two heads might be better than one.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. But, you know, I wish I knew that person in our class who got 100 on the last test. She didn't miss a question. Was it Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, Elizabeth. She's a friend of mine. She'd be a big help right now. Why don't I give her a call?
What, at this hour? It's already 10:30. I don't want to impose on her.
Yeah, I guess you are right. But you know what? She owes me a big favor. Let's at least give her a call and see what she says. Maybe going over some of the problems with us would help her review the material.
It's worth a try.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Question 20. Why is the man watching television? Question 21. Why is the man surprised that the woman wants to study linear algebra with him? Question 22. Why doesn't the man want to call Elizabeth?
Conversation 2. Do you know what happened to me today? I was so embarrassed.
What?
Well, Dr. Brown's class finished 10 minutes early, so I went to the library between classes. I knew I didn't have much time, but I wanted to get those books on the Industrial Revolution. I looked them up in the card catalogue and went right to the stacks and found them. So I put them in my book bag and headed back toward the door. Then it happened. The exit gate in front of the door wouldn't open, and a guard immediately warned me that I hadn't checked out my books. He thought I was trying to steal them.
That must have been embarrassing. But why didn't the exit gate open?
I asked them that. It seems the books in the library are all magnetically coded. And when you check them out, the librarian behind the desk demagnetizes them. Then the exit gate will open.
How interesting. I still don't quite understand how they do it, though. I'll have to go to the library and see it for myself.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 23. Why did the man decide to go to the library? Question 24. According to the man, what happens to all the books in the library? Question 25. According to the man, what does the librarian behind the desk do?
Section B.
Passage 1.
The World Health Organization has released a report about how disease weakens the economies of poor countries. For years, people believed that good health is a direct result of strong economic development. However, this study suggests the opposite is true. It says that strong economic development is an important result of improved health. an international committee of economists and experts in public health and policy carried out the study. It is based on almost 90 investigations in countries around the world. Some people say the study is the most complete examination to link investments in healthcare to economic growth. The study calls for a large increase in foreign aid for healthcare services in developing countries. In the world's richest countries, total spending for healthcare for each person is almost $2,000 a year. However, in the world's poorest nations, spending on healthcare for each person is only $13 a year. The World Health Organization says this amount should be increased to $38 a year for each person. The money would help poor nations provide treatment for disease. It would also provide babies with important health care early in life.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 26. What is the WHO report about? Question 27. What is implied in the passage? Question 28. According to the passage, how much should the minimum cost be for the health care of each person?
Passage 2.
Some people argue that the pressure on international sportsmen and sportswomen kills the essence of sport, the pursuit of personal excellence. Children kick a football around for fun. When they get older and play for local school teams, they become competitive, but they still enjoy playing. The individual representing his country cannot afford to think about enjoying himself. He has to think only about winning. He is responsible for an entire nation's hopes, dreams, and reputation. A good example is the Football World Cup. Football is the world's most important sport. Winning the World Cup is perhaps the summit of international sporting success. Mention Brazil to someone, and the chances are that he'll think of football. In a sense, winning the World Cup put Brazil on the map. Sports fans and supporters get quite irrational about the World Cup. People in England felt that their country was somehow important after they won in 1966. Last year, thousands of Scots sold their cars and even their houses and spent all their money traveling to Brazil, who won the cup.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 29. According to the speaker, what is the most important thing about sport? Question 30. Why did thousands of Scots spend all their money traveling to Brazil? Question 31. What is the speaker's main purpose in the talk?
Passage 3.
Diet, diet, diet. It gets to be a constant battle for many of us to stay fit and healthy. But diets don't always allow us to learn new eating habits, improve our self-image, or make lifestyle changes. Developing good eating habits and proper exercise is a permanent issue, and it's the main topic of this workshop. In order to keep a healthy diet and minimize the risk of disease, it's essential to eat a diet that consists of low-fat foods and to maximize energy with carbohydrates. Beef, nuts, oils, and most dairy products are rich in fat, so you should eat less of those. While pastry, rice, potatoes, and bread contain almost no fat and are a high energy source of complex carbohydrates. You know that many food manufacturers use sugar to make low-fat or fat-free foods taste good. But don't worry too much about that. You don't necessarily get fat by eating sugar, since sugar is an indirect fat. When you exercise, carbohydrates are the first calories to burn. If you want to burn off fat, it's good to do some sort of aerobic exercise, such as biking, swimming, running, or fast walking. But you have to keep doing this exercise for at least 20 minutes because it takes about that long before we start to burn fat. and then the effect of burning fat decreases after 45 minutes of exercise. So if you do some sort of aerobic exercise for 3 to 4 days a week, for about 30 to 40 minutes, you'll have an effective schedule for reducing weight.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 32. What is the main topic of this talk? Question 33. According to the speaker, what will burn the most quickly with exercise? Question 34. According to the speaker, what is the most effective exercise time schedule for reducing weight? Question 35. What does the speaker say is burned at the beginning of exercise?
Section C. Now listen to the passage.
Elderly people respond best to a calm and unhurried environment. This is not always easy to provide, as their behavior can sometimes be annoying. If they get excited or upset, then they may become more confused and more difficult to look after. Although sometimes it can be extremely difficult, it is best to be patient and not to get upset yourself. You should always encourage old people to do as much as possible for themselves, but be ready to lend a helping hand when necessary. Failing memory makes it difficult for the person to recall all the basic kinds of information we take for granted. The obvious way to help in this situation is to supply the information that is missing and help them make sense of what is going on. You must use every opportunity to provide information, but remember to keep it simple and frank. When the elderly person makes confused statements, for example, about going out to his or her old employment or visiting a dead relative, correct them in a calm, matter-of-fact fashion. You don't work in the office anymore. You're retired now. Will you come and help me with the dishes? We rely heavily on the information provided by signposts, clocks, calendars, and newspapers. Confused old people need these aids all the time to compensate for their poor memory. Encourage them to use reminder boards or diaries for important coming events, and label the contents of different cupboards and drawers.
Now the passage will be read again.
Elderly people respond best to a calm and unhurried environment. This is not always easy to provide, as their behavior can sometimes be annoying. If they get excited or upset, then they may become more confused and more difficult to look after. Although sometimes it can be extremely difficult, it is best to be patient and not to get upset yourself. You should always encourage old people to do as much as possible for themselves, but be ready to lend a helping hand when necessary. Failing memory makes it difficult for the person to recall all the basic kinds of information we take for granted. The obvious way to help in this situation is to supply the information that is missing and help them make sense of what is going on. You must use every opportunity to provide information, but remember to keep it simple and frank. When the elderly person makes confused statements, for example, about going out to his or her old employment or visiting a dead relative, correct them in a calm, matter-of-fact fashion. You don't work in the office anymore. You are retired now. Will you come and help me with the dishes? We rely heavily on the information provided by signposts, clocks, calendars, and newspapers. Confused old people need these aids all the time to compensate for their poor memory. Encourage them to use reminder boards or diaries for important coming events, and label the contents of different cupboards and drawers.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Elderly people respond best to a calm and unhurried environment. This is not always easy to provide, as their behavior can sometimes be annoying. If they get excited or upset, then they may become more confused and more difficult to look after. Although sometimes it can be extremely difficult, it is best to be patient and not to get upset yourself. You should always encourage old people to do as much as possible for themselves, but be ready to lend a helping hand when necessary. Failing memory makes it difficult for the person to recall all the basic kinds of information we take for granted. The obvious way to help in this situation is to supply the information that is missing and help them make sense of what is going on. You must use every opportunity to provide information, but remember to keep it simple and frank. When the elderly person makes confused statements, for example, about going out to his or her old employment or visiting a dead relative, correct them in a calm, matter-of-fact fashion. You don't work in the office anymore. You're retired now. Will you come and help me with the dishes? We rely heavily on the information provided by signposts, clocks, calendars, and newspapers. Confused old people need these aids all the time to compensate for their poor memory. Encourage them to use reminder boards or diaries for important coming events and label the contents of different cupboards and drawers.
This is the end of listening comprehension.
College English Test, Band 4.
Model Test 4.
Part 3. Listening Comprehension.
Section A.
Question 11.
I feel so lonely sitting at home by myself every evening.
That's quite a problem. Might it be an idea to try to meet more people?
What does the man suggest the woman do? Question 12. Do you like the disco party?
Good heavens, I'd rather do anything else.
What does the man mean?
Question 13. Let's go for a nice long walk in the country this morning.
I certainly would go with you, but I think I'm under the weather.
What can we infer from the conversation? Question 14. My schoolwork is too heavy this term. I really want to drop one or two courses.
You have to go through official channels to do that.
What does the woman mean? Question 15. I thought you were planning your vacation in Boston. What made you change your mind and go to Chicago?
Well, we were originally going to spend some time with my sister in Washington, but she went to Europe this summer, so we visited George's parents instead.
With whom and where did the woman and her family spend their vacation?
Question 16. Here's an ad for an apartment with two bedrooms. It's near the campus and not too small.
What's the number? I'll find out if it's available for immediate occupancy.
What are the man and woman doing?
Question 17. Nowadays, life for young people is full of interest and variety.
On the whole, it is true, but you can't miss the point that it is more competitive.
What is the woman's response to the man's remark? Question 18. Mary, your office has such a wonderful view of the river.
You bet. Yours does too.
What can be inferred from the conversation?
Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Oh, Jack, I'm glad I caught you. I want to tell you, I have to skip the history study group session tonight.
Really? That's too bad. Aren't you feeling well?
Oh, it's nothing bad. There's going to be a public meeting down at the town hall. The state senator from this area is going to be there. She has this meeting 3 or 4 times a year to speak with her constituency.
Is that what you like to do with your evening, going to listen to a politician's?
Actually, it's a class assignment. Professor Jackson, he's teaching that political science seminar I'm taking. He told all of us in the seminar to go to hear what the senator has to say tonight, and also write up a report about the issues people bring up.
Oh, like medical care and tax and...
Right. As long as I'm there, I think I'd like to bring up government funding for state universities. The tuition keeps going up, and it's getting harder and harder for a lot of students to afford it.
Tell me about it.
Anyway, I want to do a really good job on this report. I need to get a letter of recommendation from Professor Jackson for graduate school. So I guess I'd better show up there tonight and see what's going on.
Yeah, but what about the history test?
Well, I already put some time in on that this morning, so I think by tomorrow afternoon I'll be ready.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 19. Why does the man assume the woman is not feeling well? Question 20. What is the general purpose of the meeting the woman plans to attend? Question 21. What does the woman hope to discuss tonight? Question 22. What does the woman hope Professor Jackson will do for her?